Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Finally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced disease syndromes, please go to www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. You do not have to come to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults or if you have any questions. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714 if you have any questions for myself or my guests. It is fine if you only use your first name, and all shows are archived. Every week I will answer the question, "What ails America?" with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that, for example, inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. On tonight's show, we're going to answer the question, what's ailing America, with a term, quack watch. And I am extremely excited to have as my guest one of my heroes, a chiropractor by the name of Dr. Ted Koren, who I learned about many years ago. Dr. Koren, as a chiropractor, was making pamphlets for individuals to alert them as to the dangers of vaccinations, and that's when the medical mafia and all of their various related alphabet agencies started going after him. But he has some very good news for us tonight in regards to this group called Quack Watch, which I'm very proud to say I am listed on Quack Watch. And Dr. Koren will share with us what Quack Watch is, what they purport to be, and what they really are, and how he has actually, by some miracle, actually gotten the corrupt court system to rule in his favor. So I'd like to welcome you to the show, Dr. Koren. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
If you could start out by, first of all, explaining to our listeners who you are, any websites or whatever that you'd like to share. And also, I'm extremely interested in how you got involved in vaccinations and the dangers of them.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I should talk about that because they may not care about my website unless they know who I am, perhaps. My interest in vaccination really started when my son was born because although philosophically I didn't like the idea of vaccination, the back of my mind is the fear, gee, am I somehow leaving him unprotected? Am I doing something wrong? You know, is it worth going against the system? Is it worth dealing with my mother-in-law? What's going on? I would read various articles and books that were anti-vaccination and be convinced that vaccines were the worst thing in the world. And then I would read an article from a medical journal, and their conclusion was, gee, aren't vaccines wonderful? So
yeah.
I was totally confused for a while, and I asked a researcher friend of mine, Dr. Harris Coulter. He's a medical historian.
Yes.
I'm sure you know him.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Coulter agreed to review about 30-something articles that appeared in the top medical journals saying that vaccines were wonderful things. And it really opened my eyes when he reviewed them because part of the real problem is that the vaccines, the government, or the pharmaceutical companies, they'll all come out with a study, and it says, oh, you know, how wonderful vaccines are and they're safe, or anything, really. It doesn't have to be vaccines. And the reporters generally just grab the headlines and say, new medical breakthrough. coming up in 10 minutes, and, you know, stay tuned for the latest medical breakthrough. And that sells time. It sells advertising. You know, you look at you look on a magazine rack, you know, and you see almost every one or every other one, it seems. New medical breakthrough, new cure for cancer, new cure for this disease, cure for AIDS, cure for this. And, I mean, by this time, there should have been a few hundred cures for every single disease in the world. But the only thing we were sure of is that they're going to sell magazines and newspapers and advertising time on TV.
I would just like to interrupt you to say that there are cures for all these things, but they don't use drugs. And that's the reason that entities such as Quackwatch exist, to point people in the wrong direction.
Well, you know, the weird thing is that one of the reasons why you have all these great breakthroughs, and then, you know, a few months later when those great breakthroughs are quietly removed from the market because they've been killing people, they're dangerous or ineffective, they don't have that on the front page. You know, that you have to go to, like, D32, you know, in the paper and read correction or this was removed. Anyway, so all these, you know, I suddenly realized that what happened was reporters, generally the media, looks at the headlines, because that's the story, but they don't look at the guts of the article. What happened was when I started reading pro-vaccine papers, I started looking. I like to tell people I performed an unnatural act. I actually read the paper. Most doctors are way too busy. They'll read the abstract, you know, the conclusion, which is really the same thing as a student grading his own homework.
Yes.
You know, because the paper would say, gee, this is a great paper. In the beginning of the paper, the abstract would say, gee, what a wonderful paper this is. It shows this and this and this. My God, these guys are brilliant. You know, the government should give them more money and do more research. But if you actually read the paper, you'll find that sometimes the article contradicts itself and actually says the opposite to what they say their conclusions are. And sometimes you can't draw a conclusion. And this, I saw this over and over again in pro-vaccine papers, that not only were they poorly written, but some of the manipulation of the data would be considered fraud if it were in, like, the financial industry.
Yes.
It was bizarre. So I started reading the papers critically, and I began to also critically question the general public attitude that was fueled by the media and the medical, you know, largely the medical and pharmaceutical industries. And I was absolutely blown away. I was shocked. Probably the biggest thing, the biggest mistake out there is that they'll say the vaccine is safe or it's the benefits far outweigh the risks.
That's
and they don't
a big
tell
lie.
You, it, well, in order to do a risk-benefit or cost-benefit analysis, you have to know the risks. You know, if you get 10,000 people and give them a drug and you don't hear anything from any of them, you know, no bad effects, you'll say, well, the drug is fine. But if you give 10,000 people a drug and 3,000 of them get violently ill, then you'll say, hey, this was a pretty lousy drug. Let's pull it from the market. Well, let's say you give 10,000 people a drug, 3,000 get sick, but nobody reports it. Then you'll still think the drug is pretty good because it wasn't reported.
And I just have to say that that's... Please let me comment on that, because it's so important what you said, that it's exactly what's happening with the vaccines, because they have this, VAERS, where you can report vaccine reactions. Now, of course, the problem is that any time that there is a vaccine reaction, as a matter of fact, I think the medical mafia itself admits that only 1 out of 10 vaccine reactions is reported. I think it's much lower than that.
Well, if you look at various studies, you find something quite different. The FDA said only 1 in 10 is reported. It means 90% of all vaccine reactions are never reported. That alone is pretty scary, because that means that the vaccine damage is 10 times higher potentially than what we're hearing about. However, Connecticut Laboratories actually reported at the Institute of Medicine in Washington that they did their own study, and their study found that only 1 in 50. Vaccine injuries is ever reported. 1 in 50. So that's like 98% underreporting. Actually, I saw one report that was 1 in 500 vaccine injuries are ever reported. And you might say, well, why is that? How come they're not reporting damage? And, well, you know, there are many reasons. One is doctors are told these vaccines are safe and they're not trained to see anything else. In fact, they have a blind eye toward it. They're afraid of malpractice. They're afraid of even the idea that something they're doing is hurting a patient is really an
exactly
to a doctor's whole creed and reason of being. So, you know, that's one reason. But the scary thing is that far, far more kids are being hurt and nobody's reporting it, or it's rarely being reported. I have stories of nurses who, you know, they're the ones who deliver the goods and vaccinate. And when they reported injuries to their doctors, the doctors threatened them with, you know, losing their jobs.
Yeah.
And after a while, it gets pretty clear that you shut up and you don't do it because there's so much money and prestige on the line. So we have a whole industry that is built on a lie.
Exactly.
That the vaccines have been properly researched and they're effective and they're safe and the benefits outweigh the risks. And
yeah,
the only answer to that really is to ask someone who says that, how do you know? How do you know if most of the risks are never reported? And that's unfortunately what's going on. We are essentially, you know, letting the fox guard the hen house. That's what the whole vaccine profession is all about. It's been very, very bad and very damaging. And when I started reading the literature, I realized, my God, I can't stick this in my son's body. And you know, then when my daughter Shayna was born a few years later, there was no question in my mind that she would never be vaccinated. And both kids are very healthy, unlike their vaccinated relatives, unlike their vaccinated cousins, who have, many of them have, you know, allergies and asthma and chronic illness and ADD and ADHD and all these other problems that you simply don't usually see ever in a vaccinated kid. Of course, autism is one of the more severe forms of vaccine injury, and you just don't see that in non-vaccinated children, except if they were somehow exposed to, like, heavy metals, for example, like if the mother had mercury put in her mouth or removed when she was pregnant.
I have to comment on that because, as far as I'm concerned, the mercury issue is one of the biggest lies that's happening now with the autism situation. And the reason that they're promoting autism being caused by mercury is because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. A bigger lie has never been told. I don't know if you got
it's
a chance.
More than that.
Yes, let me just mention, I don't know if you got a chance to read my response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Guide, which is on my website. But I did exactly what you stated in terms of my medical books. I went into the medical books and I read what I didn't read when I was a medical student, because we're nothing more than zombies, sleep-deprived, nutritionally deprived. It's just like you said, you read the headlines in the chapter, you know, you find whatever important facts you have to find, but you don't read between the lines. And in the medical books themselves, I found this situation called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. When you read the description of that, it is autism. And they actually said in the medical book, the Bible for Medicine, which is Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, that it is caused by the measles virus vaccine. And that's when I realized that they were admitting right in this book that the measles virus is antigenically similar to the myelin basic protein, which composes the myelin sheath, which is the insulation for the nerves, that when you inject the measles virus into the child, you are developing antibodies against it, and those antibodies are attacking the myelin sheath. And this is nothing more than another case of demyelination. And what I have found, because I have had a few clients over the years, because two-thirds of my clientele are children neurologically damaged, most of them have autism, it is possible for the viruses to be transmitted from the parents who were vaccinated, even if the child wasn't vaccinated. So I just want to clarify that issue. Yes, mercury is a toxic poison. It has no business in amalgam fillings or in vaccines or in our water or anyplace else, but it is not the cause of autism. And what my profession has so corruptly done was they changed the name of the disease and they made it a psychiatric illness. And this is not just true in the case of autism, but sudden death syndrome is another entity called acute hemorrhagic necrotizing encephalomyelitis, which my medical book admits they create this disease in animals by inoculating them with a pertussis vaccine. So it has been quite interesting investigating all these things, as you said, but the important take-home message that people have to realize is what you're saying is so on point in terms of these vaccines being sold to people as the best thing since sliced bread. This is the height of medical knowledge and the best thing that my profession has ever done. And what I am proving, not only in my documents, but in my work, where I have reversed all autoimmune diseases and cancer in people and in pets by detoxifying the viruses and other things as well. Pesticides also cause demyelination. But all of these chronic illnesses are being caused by inoculations, and that's when I realized that this has to be being done on purpose, because there would be no need for pediatricians if they stopped the inoculations. You can weigh your child, you can measure your own child. You don't need to get inoculations, therefore they never get sick. If they have trauma, you take them to the emergency room. So I've now realized that this has to be done intentionally. At the higher levels, certainly people know exactly what's going on. They create these diseases, and then they develop their pharmaceutical drugs to treat the symptoms. But in reality, of course, you're just getting more side effects, and then you go down that, you know, hole into disease.
Yeah, well, I always figured that the mercury was a limited way of doing it, since most parents or large numbers say their kid got autism after the MMR shot, which doesn't have mercury
right.
in it.
It has never had mercury in it, yes.
Right, and
that's very important.
So I said, well, you know, I'm sure mercury is a factor, but there's a whole lot of other things involved in it, too. And, you know, and there's many mechanisms and all that, but the important thing is that we have to look at things empirically, meaning that how are people normally supposed to live? And we can't see any culture that would vaccinate kids in the whole, you know, history of the world. Or eat the kind of foods we're eating, especially in the U.S. We're
mm-hmm.
terribly... you know, my two younger brothers are MDs, and essentially they were taught nothing about vaccination, absolutely nothing at all. They know about as much as the general public. The only difference is they can stick it into people.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think you make a lot of sense in what you're saying. And what is your website?
It's drcarley.com. drcarley.com, and I hope you will tell your brothers to check it out. I mean, I would like nothing more than for somebody to prove me wrong, because I have no possible conclusion to draw other than that this is being done on purpose, because it is causing all of these chronic diseases. As a matter of fact, if you check out the diagrams on my website, the second diagram is where I talk about chiropractic, and what I tell all my clients is that the two main causes of neurologic dysfunction are, of course, subluxation, which is what the chiropractors deal with, and demyelination. And people don't realize that it's not just a matter of your muscles getting, you know, improper conduction from nerves that are out of whack. It's every organ in your body. Every organ is supplied by nerves. So if you have either subluxation or demyelination, your body is not going to be able to function properly. And just like Dr. Korn said, it's not just that. It's the food. It's the fluoride. It's the aspartame. We could talk for weeks, and that's why with the title of my show, What's Ailing America, I will never run out of subject matter, unfortunately. But we also give you the good news on the show as to what you can do to reverse these problems and certainly to become aware that you've been lied to so that you can take action in your own life to do something about it. And I just want to let you know, Dr. Korn, that I've had Dr. Patricia Jordan on my show twice. She's a veterinarian who's totally on our page. She's actually doing a study now where she's monitoring and documenting how many animals are getting not only autoimmune disease but cancer right at the site of the inoculations.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that not a single vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer.
Well,
so these are
vets are being told now to vaccinate animals in the hindquarters rather than between the shoulder blades, because if the animal gets cancer in the hindquarter, you can amputate, whereas if they get the cancer between the shoulder blades, you have to kill them.
I mean, is that insane or what? I mean, and how this whole idea got started in the first place. I know where it started, good old Dr. Jenner, may he not rest in peace, but the idea that you would protect yourself by taking the very organism that you're considering dangerous and you don't want to have infect you, and in order to protect you, they're going to put it in a syringe and inoculate it into you. That whole idea is so insane that it's beyond comprehension, but the entire world has been brainwashed with this propaganda, and that's what we're trying to do, is bring them out of that coma.
Well, I wish us both a lot of luck in that.
It's happening. It's happening.
I think so. It's a slow process, because there's tremendous money and prestige and careers that are hinged upon, you know, vaccination. And that's part of the problem, that all we have are children.
Yes.
They have money, which sounds weird. Of course, I think about $2.5 billion has been already awarded, and it's really a fraction of the amount that should have been, has been awarded to the parents of vaccine-injured children to
yes.
take care of the kids. However, if your child is killed, then they'll give you $250,000.
Right.
And one person actually was involved in vaccine court, where you go there and, you know, kid's been seriously injured, say, and it's, you know, it's tragic, and the government has a law saying you can be reimbursed. Well, they go to the vaccine court, and it's like they're enemies, you know, of the state, and they're attacked, and they have to prove everything. And one person involved, an attorney involved in this, said what they try to do is if the kid is, say, badly brain damaged or injured, and will need, like, life support, well, that might run into hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars over that kid's lifetime. So they try to drag out the hearings and hope the child will die, because if the
yeah.
kid dies, the parents will just be given $250,000.
I know. It's so evil. And, of course, not only that, but they only admit that certain problems are caused by inoculations. And, of course, they have their ridiculous timetables. They have arbitrarily decided a certain time limit, whatever the case may be, say 14 days. And if you have a reaction to a vaccine after that time limit, then it's not a vaccine reaction. These are some of the things that they've done to distract from the actual damage that's being caused. I mean, the suffering and death is unbelievable. I know that this is the worst thing my profession has ever done. They'd be better off going back to bloodletting than doing these inoculations. And, of course, just like you said, the arrogance, the money, all of these things are involved. How are the medical doctors going to admit that they've been hoodwinked? I know for myself, I was trained as a surgeon, and so I wasn't involved in internal medicine and all those things, but still, I was brainwashed into thinking vaccines were good. I gave them to my own child. He was brain damaged. That was about 10 years ago that I reversed his problems with homeopathy, which I never learned that word in medical school. And it was a whole process I had to go through to accept the fact that I had been lied to, that I had been cajoled, that I had been convinced something to do something to my own son, the most precious thing on this earth to me, just because of this, you know, superstition that this was a good thing to do. And I went along with it. Just like you said, we were never taught about vaccine reactions in medical school. You know, they talk about that local reaction. Sometimes you get redness, swelling. If you read the actual vaccine information statements put out by the CDC, they do mention, well, yes, you can have, you know, comas and seizures and death, but they don't tell you nearly the amount of times that it actually happens. And so basically you play Russian roulette.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the doctors will say, well, it's 1 in 1,000,000. But in fact, you know, it could be 1 in 5 or 1 in 3 that there's some kind of injury to the child. I mean,
yeah.
Look at all the kids that have allergies today. Look at all the kids
it's
that have
all from vaccines. Yeah.
And reading disorders and learning
yes.
problems and who are depressed and are having all these other horrible conditions that you literally never heard of years ago. It was incredibly rare for a
yeah.
child to be on antidepressants
yes.
or to have brain tumors. Brain tumors
yes.
are going up 1% a year for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they admit that that research shows that one of the components of the polio shot causes brain tumors.
Yes.
But they blissfully keep going on, assuring each
yes.
other that because they're scientists, they know what they're doing. And
right.
that is not necessarily the case. Many scientists are stupid in terms of ethics and morality and even common sense. You know,
yes.
we might have a whole generation of autistic scientists giving us more vaccines.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's my mission to stop this Holocaust. I know that's a big one, but I am going to prove that vaccine-induced diseases is actually the biggest epidemic the world has ever known. And the specialties of internal medicine, psychiatry, pediatrics, etc., are, in my opinion, all vaccine-induced diseases. Not to say that vaccines are the only thing, just like you said, diet is important and all of these other factors weigh in. That's why the first diagram on my website, the big picture, which has the cause of all disease on one piece of paper, basically shows you're getting all these assaults to your body, you reach critical mass, your body can't take it anymore, it develops a disease symptom to tell you you have a problem. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what Americans especially have been brainwashed into doing is going to the white coat and getting out the prescription pad and getting put on some drug. And
yeah,
this is what we have to wake
people. Well, they're going back to the same people that caused the problem.
Exactly.
Which is sort of bizarre, but they don't know any better. And
well, they're learning. They are learning, and I can assure you that the listeners to this show are totally up to speed. So just let me ask you initially, because I want to get into this Quackwatch minion, Dr. Barrett, and the luck that you've had in exposing what he's really all about. But you also had some problems, didn't you, from the Federal Trade Commission when you started putting out your vaccine information pamphlet?
Yeah, well, I write patient education literature for chiropractors to give out to their patients and to educate
mm-hmm.
everybody and promote their practice and all that good stuff. And after, we distributed a few million of them, I got a phone call and a letter from the Federal Trade Commission telling me my company and my products are being investigated. And I never really knew much about the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. I heard about the FDA.
Yeah.
They're with drugs and that kind of thing. But it turns out the FTC is like the chiropractic FDA, because chiropractors don't give out drugs, but they give information. And the FTC essentially regulates information. So
uh-huh.
they said that they looked at it and said, we're investigating you. And little did I know at the time, but the Quackbusters were, in fact, advising the Federal Trade Commission at that time. What a coincidence. Well, I also discovered, a few months before that, there was a really nasty article in Consumer Reports, which has a history of attacking alternatives. They should stick to toasters. Anyway, so they attack alternatives. And they mentioned me in their article because they had one on chiropractic, and they just said trashy things about my writings. They said it was full of medical misinformation, but they didn't give a single example of that because they couldn't, really. But they just,
of course,
they're sort of guilty of what they accused me of, just, saying things running off at the mouth. So what happens? So the Federal Trade Commission, by the way, the people, the Consumer Reports put out that trashy anti-chiropractic article attacking me. By the sheerest of coincidences, the Quackbusters, the anti-chiropractic people, were advising Consumer Reports also. So they went after Consumer Reports attacked me a few months later. I got this notice of being investigated by the federal government. And,
ooh, scary.
It was scary. It's very scary. You know, this is a powerful government agency. And
I know.
And your attorney. So I was really scared, and I didn't know what to do. And we went to different lawyers, and I think one was worse than the other.
Yeah.
The lawyers essentially, many of them actually had worked for the federal government, for the Federal Trade Commission. And it's sort of like, there's an attitude there that when you leave the federal government and you go into the private sector, you're going to go back to the federal government. You go to the private sector to get valuable experience. And then you go back at a higher pay scale to the government. They like it. It's sort of a revolving door. Well,
mm-hmm.
little did I know that these wonderful people who now were going to the private sector to defend me eventually wanted to get back in with their buddies in the government. So they're not really going to make many waves in defending
right.
me. And I found this over and over again. I mean, imagine if an ex-IRS agent is going to be your tax advisor. You go, great, this guy will save me from anything. But if you get in trouble, he's not going to really, make a few phone calls that might help because he wants to be rehired. Anyway, I don't know if that's true with IRS agents. I wouldn't be surprised. But it's definitely true in the federal government and many of these agencies.
Yes.
So
yes.
We found these lawyers, and they're incredibly expensive. And they were essentially losing everything for us left and right. Finally, a friend of mine turned me on to a man named Jim Turner. And Jim Turner's an attorney in Washington. And he's like unlike any other attorney I've ever spoken to. So I send him the information. And unlike the other lawyers who wanted to play, let's make a deal. They look
uh-huh.
at him and go, oh, you can't fight the federal government. We have to make a deal.
Right.
If you agree to this, maybe they'll do that. I said, I don't have to agree to being wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm giving honest information to the public. Well, you can't fight the federal government. Cost millions of dollars. You have to make a deal with them. Then they'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, So, you know, I heard that kind of crap. And then I spoke to Jim Turner, and I sent him the information, and he called me, and he said, whoa, they can't do this. This is unconstitutional. Well, my heart leapt. I was overjoyed. I've been waiting, I think, 4 years to listen to those words.
Yes.
And finally, someone who was honest, and he says, this is not right. You didn't say anything wrong. This is, you know, we have to talk to these guys. And he had special meetings with the FTC and essentially told them that and showed them that they were so off base that there's no way they would have won this, that there was absolutely no logic. And little did I know, but that was sort of the beginning of my legal, political interest in this. Before, I considered myself a writer and a reporter and, you know, giving people information, letting them make their decisions. And suddenly, I'm thrust in the middle of this big battle, and it turns out that had they gone after me and won, they would have gone after the homeopaths and the naturopaths and the midwives and the acupuncturists and all the others. I was sort of like the first one. As a friend of mine wrote, we're all on the Titanic. My stateroom just has to be a little closer to the iceberg. But, you know, fortunately, but everyone was going to sink. And later, you know, and I started getting support from many wonderful organizations, both within the chiropractic profession and in the overall holistic field. And the case sort of died. The FTC sort of threw in the towel. Not long after that, the agency that went after me was actually disbanded, which I thought was a wonderful thing.
Well, that is such a miracle. I wish I would have been able to know about Mr. Turner when the medical mafia came after me because of my alleged delusion of conspiracy, but everything happened for a reason.
Jim is still there. He is the first Nader's Raider, and he actually was responsible for preventing aspartame from being put on the market for 10 years.
Yes, I read that.
And when Reagan became president, he kicked out the FDA guy who was blocking aspartame, and Rumsfeld put his own man in. Rumsfeld was really behind it because Rumsfeld's company was making aspartame. So he got it approved, and Rumsfeld had his own guy put in the FDA, and after it was approved a couple of months later, he apparently left to work for the pharmaceutical company. So it was a nice revolving door, and the Rumsfeld company probably made billions.
Yes, and let me just mention, please let me mention to the listeners, I'm hoping to have Betty Martini, who is another one of my heroes in terms of exposing the dangers of aspartame on this show. But if you go to the website www.doorway.com, that's doorway with one O, D-O-R-W-A-Y, and order the videotape Sweet Misery. That is the best documentary I've ever seen on aspartame.
Yeah, I've got that, and we carry it in our catalog. Jim Turner's in that one.
Yes, and as that Dr. Korn said, you see, that's exactly what happened. Donald Rumsfeld was brought in just to get this poison passed, and aspartame is a very big problem in terms of making people sick. So all of these things, and see, once you see the pattern in practice of what's actually going on, all of these alphabet agencies that are supposed to be protecting us are actually doing the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, I would have liked to have seen a really great headline, which probably has an element of truth in it, saying Rumsfeld gave Reagan Alzheimer's. Because, you know, aspartame causes brain damage.
Yeah.
And as well, tumors and all kinds of horrible things.
Right.
And it wouldn't have been untrue either.
Well, of course, the media, which is full of pharmaceutical ads, just like you said, they're never going to do that, and that's the problem. There's conflicts of interest galore, and this is the reason that we don't get the truth, because the media that we're depending on to tell us what's going on has other things going on behind the scenes that they could never reveal the truth until it gets so obvious that the walls come crashing down. And that's actually what's starting to happen now with inoculations, because there are many people getting on board now.
Well, you know, they didn't think the Berlin Wall would ever fall.
Mm-hmm.
One day it was the Berlin speed bump. So who knows, you know? That may very well happen. I know that, you know, you really need to have people in powers that their kids hurt so that then they suddenly realize it's important. And that's what happened when, in the government, an important congressman's grandchild
Dan
became
Burton.
Autistic. Yeah, after receiving,
right.
The child received 9 vaccines in one day. And
right,
say,
but let me just say,
unusual.
I have to comment on Dan Burton because, you see, even he realized he can only go so far. Yes, I have videotapes of the hearings that he held, and all they talked about was the mercury. No mention was ever made of subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. Myself and many of my clients sent Mr. Burton my information, but you see, he knows that if he goes there, if he opens that can of worms, he could be murdered, and I'm not kidding. I mean, that's how big this is. And even after the government did all of those hearings, you know, they basically told the vaccine manufacturers, we would like you to please remove mercury now, take out the thimerosal, and they're supposedly doing so, although there's still vaccines that have it. But there was no action taken. Pardon me?
It's still in it. I mean, it might be traced amounts, as they say, but it's still there.
Right.
So,
right. So that's what our Congress does in the District of Criminals. They have these hearings, and they make it look good. You know, it's basically a dog and pony show, and then what do they actually do to protect the people? Absolutely nothing. So this is what we're paying our taxes for, and that's what people have to realize, because they're afraid. They know they can only go so far.
Well, our goal, we created a foundation, the Foundation for Health Choice, and which is foundationforhealthchoice.com. And our goal is just to give people information so they can make choices. We're not trying to force people to believe or do this or that, but we just want people to have the freedom to choose.
Yeah.
You know, that's good old stuff from Milton Friedman, free to choose. And that's
mm-hmm.
precisely what we want. We want people to have the freedom to decide for themselves what exactly they're going to give their children and themselves regarding health care. Nobody wants to be bound and gagged and forced to use this or that. That's not what this country is all about.
Exactly.
So we are essentially fighting for health care freedom. And that is really the safest thing, because everyone's for freedom. Everyone's for choice. You know, there's no one's really against that. So we're not really saying, hey, we're against vaccination. We're really for choice. Let people make up their own mind and decide. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, if they knew what was going on, they would never have a child vaccinated in their lives. But some people actually would, I guess. You know, there's some people that simply think if an MD says it, it must be right. I mean, I was one of them.
Yes.
When I was growing up, that's pretty much the way we were taught. The doctors know everything. And, the fact is that they don't.
Once
the public becomes aware of that and starts taking responsibility and starts doing their own reading, then I think we'll be much happier.
Yes, that is key. And I always explain to people that when I was in medical school, we had 10 hours of nutrition lectures, and I still have all my notes from medical school. 10 hours of nutrition. 4 was on milk, which is, of course, you know, a toxic poison in itself. 4 was on the basic 4 food groups, which is another scam. And 2 hours was basically telling us the vitamins give you expensive urine. But we had 2 years of pharmacology. And all you have to do is read the book The Medical Mafia by Dr. Guylian Ling Tote, an MD from Canada, who lost her license for writing that book, and you understand the history of how the medical profession was basically taken over by the pharmaceutical interests, especially the Rockefeller Foundation, in the early 1900s, and they basically just, you know, railroaded the whole profession into going down the pharmaceutical track. And we see where we are today because of that. You know, they say we have the best healthcare system in the world. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's more chronic disease in this country than any place else on earth. And the reason for that is because of the medical mafia.
Well, And we're all suffering for it, and I'm glad that you're letting the people know this information.
Yeah. I never dreamed that I would be doing this. When I became a surgeon, the reason I became a surgeon is because I'm kind of impatient, and, you know, if there was a problem, I was going to go in and fix it. And it's just amazing how things worked out. I would have never dreamed that I would be doing what I'm doing today. But I, like you, I'm always looking for the truth. And once you evaluate the information, just like you said, you can come to no other conclusion than that this insane practice of inoculation is responsible for so much suffering and death in this world. And unfortunately for me, I guess, once I realized that, I couldn't keep quiet. And I've suffered greatly because of that, but I have no regrets because I sleep very well at night. I'm helping a lot of people because I've developed this protocol using homeopathy and other natural things to reverse problems. And I know that I'm doing the right thing. And unfortunately, there's so many people that are filled with fear. It's just like what you said. A lot of parents will decide to vaccinate their children, even though they may have heard that vaccines aren't good. Well, I know because I get calls from these people. One of the main reasons they do that is because they're afraid of bucking the system. And they'll say to me, well, my child can't go to school unless they get vaccinated. And I always ask them, if the school tells you you have to cut off your child's right arm, are you going to do that? Where do you draw the line? And that's what people have to do, is take their power back and just check things out for themselves. The one thing I'm concerned about now is this bird flu vaccine that's already been licensed, and they're getting ready to shell that out. All we'll need is one case of bird flu in the United States, and they'll open up that Pandora's box. And the next thing you know, we'll have the bird flu pandemic because it will be caused by the bird flu vaccine.
Well,
so that's why
Jim
it's so
Turner
important.
On.
Pardon me?
You should have Jim Turner on as a guest.
I'd love to have him on. Yes, let's talk off the air about that. I would love to talk to him about my situation also. I'm ready to go against these people because it's a miracle. I think you do realize what a miracle it is that you found an attorney with a backbone to stand up as he has done. That is a miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think he would be a very good guest because he can sort of give you a perspective that most people don't get.
Yeah.
And it's good that you're giving information for people who have vaccine-injured children because that's something that you'll never get rid of, lately at least. The doctors are, now their businesses purely are vaccine-injured children.
Yes.
Many of them. Some of them, I think, are scams. And they're charging an absolute fortune and taking advantage of people. And some
right.
are legitimate, you know. I mean, I'm sure you've seen those, you know.
Right. Well, the Dan Doctors is one of those groups. I did a conference in Florida in 1999 where I presented my protocol and gave the results of what I had done. And what they basically did, this group, is take my protocol. They remove the homeopathy. They use antibiotics and antifungals and all kinds of other things. It's all about the mercury. And then they have the parents spend, thousands of dollars getting these ridiculous tests, which, of course, don't tell you why the problem's occurring. It's just basically a bunch of numbers. And then what Great Plains Laboratory does is, you know, they have this list of Dan doctors, and as long as they order the tests, then they will, you know, refer people in certain areas of the country to those Dan doctors. And I've even heard of pediatricians that have, like, a dual practice. On the one hand, they're giving the vaccines, and then when the child gets vaccine damaged, then they shift them over into the other part of the practice where they do their chelation and the other things that they do, which, you know, that's going to help to some degree, but it's not addressing the true cause. And that really makes me sick. Yes.
That sounds, yeah, that's... Oh, Lord, that's terrible. So what your work
yes,
has a lot to do with homeopathy?
Yes, homeopathic nosodes, which are homeopathic remedies that actually have the problem in it. It's a vibrational remedy. For example, if you have an MMR vaccine, you actually take the vibration of the MMR vaccine, but it's in such a dilute form that it can't possibly cause the problem, but it gives the body the impetus to push the viruses out. And that's the only thing I've found that will do that. And in conjunction with that, you have to do other things to boost the immune system, uncorrupt the immune system. There's homeopathic remedies to repair the myelin sheath and all these things. And it's not just people, it's pets as well. I reverse cancer, seizures, insulin-dependent diabetes, all kinds of things in pets also. So the good news is the chiropractors have been my best buddies for a long time, but I'm now finding... veterinarians especially, and a few medical doctors. One of the things that's really been very sad to me is how many medical doctors have come to me for help for themselves and their own children, but then they go back and do what they do to everybody else. So this is a big problem, and of course one of the problems is fear, because they see what's happened to doctors such as myself. The medical mafia comes after you, In my case, I never had a single complaint from any patient, even when I was a surgeon, so they had to use my TV show and say I'm talking about conspiracies and I have a delusion of conspiracy, and it was basically, you know, a done deal. They had already decided that they were going to do this to me, and they actually ordered me to undergo psychiatric drugging, institutionalization, or electroshock therapy to keep my license to kill. And in that case, I told them they can have their license. I'm a teacher now. So I don't practice medicine. I'm doing what physicians are supposed to do. I'm teaching people how to get well and how to stay well. And I love what I do. It's very rewarding. But there's many people that are afraid. You know, they don't want to lose that Mercedes in their driveway. They don't want to lose their prestigious, you know, awards and all the various positions that they have within the medical industry. You know, they'd rather just keep going with the flow and doing what they're doing. And that's evil in my opinion.
Do you lecture much?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I give conferences all over. I'm very excited. In August, I'm going to be the keynote speaker at the Pennsylvania Natural Living Association in Pittsburgh. And I actually have on my website a $10,000 reward for any vaccine promoter to prove my document's incorrect. I should have made it $1 million because they can't possibly do so, because I actually went into the medical books themselves, as I said, and found those dirty little secrets that were printed there. They just didn't think anybody was actually going to read it. So that challenge is now being made part of this conference, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens. I'm expecting nobody to show up, but if they do, I'm going to have some fun.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will. I mean, I've seen like $100,000 offered for them to take their own.
Well, I said, it doesn't matter if I gave $1 million because, you see, I found the proof in the medical books themselves that they're just changing the name of the disease. That's what they're doing. And so there's nobody that can come up against me. But a no-show is very, you know, it's a deafening silence, basically. And it's making a point to people. And it's not like I want to embarrass my profession. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I am trying to make them wake up and smell the coffee. But out of arrogance and fear, they continue to do what they're doing. And it's really funny, Dr. Korn, as I'm sure you realize, I mean, billions of dollars are being spent now on quote-unquote alternative, you know, remedies. The people are marching with their dollars, and they're going to find the ways to heal themselves because the doctors aren't helping them. And if Codex is stopped, and hopefully that won't kick in 2009 as they're planning on making dietary supplements a prescription item, which is another whole topic. But the people are waking up, and they're realizing that the doctors are not helping them. And all you have to do is watch a commercial on television. I have to laugh when I see these various commercials. You know, they'll show a woman skipping through the daisies as they're talking about certain drug to take for whatever. And then, you know, they're saying the side effects are diarrhea, constipation, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll take two, you know. It's truly amazing.
Yeah, well, I think what I've always wanted to do is start a school, actually.
Yes.
Natural healing. That's
yes.
my dreams to do. I think it'll cost about $10 million to get a good one out there.
Well, let's do it. You know? Let's do it because, see, I've always known that that's what has to be done. A school for healers where all kinds of different, because there's so many wonderful things out there. I mean, I primarily use nutritional supplements and homeopathy, but I'm aware of so many different things. And if all of those things could be brought under one roof, can you just imagine the results that we would have? I mean, the white coats could no longer say it's anecdotal evidence. And it's really funny to me how they always use that term. Oh, this is an anecdotal evidence. If you have 1 million people standing together and saying, you know, I don't have this problem anymore and I took these vitamins, et cetera, you know, it's not anecdotal evidence. Scientific method includes observation. And if you watch somebody who's very sick get well from doing detoxification, which is a term I never learned in medical school, of course, because if they use that word, you would start to say to yourself, wait a minute, everything we're doing is toxic. So this is a very important thing that people have to realize, is that all of these things are important. And chiropractic is high on the list. If you listen to my interview by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance, I talk about how a chiropractor changed my life. I was in a terrible car accident. I couldn't even move my neck. And it was a chiropractor that brought me back. And it was really quite amazing how that worked out, because, of course, I had been told that chiropractors were quacks. And here I was getting healed.
That's
so
been a pretty tough going to one for the first time.
It was a little scary, but you know what? When you're in such a situation, I was only in my mid-20s, and I couldn't move my head. And I had the white coats. I had a myelogram done to me. This is before the days of CAT scans and MRIs. And I ended up with a spinal headache in the hospital for a week, vomiting my guts out with a headache like I'd never had in my life. I wished I was dead. That's the sickest
I've
ever been
in
my life.
I've heard about those spinal tap headaches.
Yes, yes.
And that you're not supposed to move at all. You can't move or anything, or your brain crashes against your skull.
Well, let me just tell you, it's very funny how things work out, because while I was in the hospital for that procedure, see, I was an x-ray technician, and then I became a diagnostic sonographer using ultrasound. While I was in the hospital is when I met a medical student who became my mentor and actually told me how to get into medical school. Because as I was especially working as an x-ray technician, I was looking at...
How to get into medical school? Really?
Pardon me?
You mean how to get into medical school?
Before I went to medical school. Well, see, I had to take lots of other courses. I had to go to college for 2 more years and take calculus and physics and chemistry and all those things. Basically, he just coached me on what do you need to do. Because I didn't have anybody to do that for me. But let me just tell you the funniest part of the story was that when I got into medical school, the medical school I went to was State University of New York, downstate in Brooklyn. The neurologist...
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn originally.
Right. The neurologist who misdiagnosed me, Dr. Brian Anziska, actually turned out to be my neurology professor. And there came a day when I stood up and told the whole class about how this moron had misdiagnosed me, because the reason I was having these
told
severe
the whole
problems
class
is... Pardon me?
In front of them? You told
yes,
the whole
I did.
Class in front of
yes.
him?
In
oh,
front of him, yeah.
Give you a high grade for that.
Well, he couldn't fail me just for telling my experience, but just to let you know, the problem that I had was because he was overdosing me on codeine. As it turns out, the reason I couldn't move my bowels was because he had me on such a high dose of medication that my colon stopped working. And the third-year medical student figured that out. So, you see, everything happens for a reason, and that was just an amazing experience. And that was the beginning of my, you know, activist days. Little did I know where I'd end up going against the whole medical mafia. But I just realized we only have 5 minutes left. This has been such a pleasure talking to you. Can you just quickly tell us about what you're doing with Dr. Stephen Barrett of Quack Watch? How he initially came after you, correct?
Yeah, he came after me. He threatened me that he was going to sue me, and if I gave him $10,000, he'd drop it all.
That's called extortion.
It's sort of shakedown kind of thing. And it turns out that in a court trial, it was revealed that he had done the same thing to about 40 people in recent years. In fact, he had done so many, he couldn't even remember any of the names.
Wow.
And then later on, he asked for $100,000 to drop it, and I refused. And, you contact me. You know, you never know what a jury might say. You never know. Juries are funny. They might award me $10 million. You might as well pay off, you know. And it's scary, you know, but we stuck with it. And in the stand, he sort of revealed a lot of things about him that if I were him, I would have kept quiet. But I guess he had to, because he was under oath. And one of them was that he had no license to practice medicine at all, and yet he was claiming to be a medical expert in courtroom testimony. Another one was that he was a psychiatrist. He'd never had a successful private practice. And he had many jobs, many part-time jobs at the same time. In my opinion, the only time anyone ever paid him any attention professionally is when he was going after chiropractors and non-toxic healers, and
right.
He got known as an expert on quackery, as he put it. And he went after me, you know, he wanted money because I revealed that he a number of things. One is actually we found out he failed his neurology exams to become board certified, so he was never able to pass his board certification to be a psychiatrist.
Okay.
So he was never board certified. So he went after me, and he lost, and then he appealed the decision, and he lost again. And in the course of the situation, it turns out that he lost to another woman named Elena Rosenfeld, and the judge awarded her legal fees that Barrett had to pay, and that was $250,000, and Barrett appealed that ruling, and the judge said you shouldn't have to pay $250,000 to her, raising it to $400,000. And there's and now it's an issue of going after him and, finding out, really, where does he get his money from? Who's funding him? Because
that's
always been the big issue. Here he is retired. He claims to make $30,000, $25,000 a year before taxes. Mm-hmm. His wife, I believe, is a retired medical doctor. So how can he go on and travel all over the country?
Yeah.
And, sue all these people. Well, maybe he's actually making money shaking them down. That's a possibility. Although he claims he's not making any money shaking people down or demanding money from them. So we don't know. You know, we don't know what's going on, but we do know that this group, as one observer has said, they seem little more than skinheads with stethoscopes.
Exactly.
And essentially they're telling people... they're giving them misinformation about just about everything out there.
Yeah.
And promoting, every medical thing. Apparently, they never found the drug they didn't like. And
exactly.
They like everything that's toxic. And they unfortunately, many people listen to them. Your listeners should know that we're not against people arguing about issues. We just want there to be honesty and fair reporting. And that you shouldn't be lied to. And you should be permitted to have a choice based on accurate information. That's all.
Exactly.
Make up your own mind. But don't let a pharmaceutical company scare you or threaten you into vaccinating just because of fear.
And I just want to point out that even double Nobel Prize winner Linus Pauling is on the Quack Watch website. The doctor that developed a cure for cancer by the name of... William Kelly, who cured 33,000 cases of cancer in 40 years, and his work was actually studied at a prestigious medical center in New York. Of course, they never did publish the results of the fact that the terminal pancreatic cancer patients all survived with his therapy and died with the pharmaceutical drugs. But, basically, it's a who's who list of healers. That's what's on the Quack Watch site, and I'm so glad that you...
Well, we're in good company, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are. And we're running out of time, so I just want to say I'm so grateful to you for what you're doing, Dr. Corin. I think it's very funny in this email that I received. I see that he's moving to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That's in my neck of the woods. So,
maybe
we'll
bake
see.
Him a cake. You might need a hug.
Yes, exactly. Well, I don't know if I'll be hugging him, but it may be funny how things work out. So. There's another show on after mine, so I have to say goodnight, but I want to thank you so much, Dr. Corin, not only for what you're doing with the Quack Watch people, but for your, perseverance, getting the truth out there, telling people what they need to hear. Just like you said, the truth stands on its own, and that's what people need is the truth. The truth will set us free, and I'm so grateful to you. You are one of my heroes, and I really want to thank you so much for being on the show this evening, and I'm going to call you... within the next couple of days and get some information from you about Mr. Turner. I think you're right. He would be an excellent guest for the show as well to get the word out to people that there are people out there in all professions doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting
me. Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The talk radio you have just enjoyed is brought to you by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems.